Well, hey, this is Donna Partow, and I'm really honored and blessed and just feel totally privileged to be sharing with you today about the wonder working power that's available to us. The oft forgotten weapon that Christ died to give us. Power, power, wonder working power. Some of you who are older like me know where I'm going with this already, but let's pray and thank God for this opportunity. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you came to open up a new and living way, a new and living way, not only for us to enter in, but for us to go forth into the world by the power of your might, that you desire to clothe us in your power, to clothe us in authority, to clothe us in righteousness and humility that comes from the realization that what you are doing in our lives and through our lives is so above and beyond anything that we could have asked or imagined and that we could possibly be, quote, qualified to do. That we can't help but drop to our knees in wonder at what you're doing through our lives. That's what we want, the great adventure with you. And it comes through the power of power, wonder working power. Now, I want to ask you, you know, guys, you know, I'm always honest with you, okay? So just brace yourselves. Here it comes. I knew that there was a call on my life. And I wanted to serve God. Many of you have heard my testimony. The day after I became a Christian, God spoke to me in just near audible voice. I mean, it was like unmistakable. And he said, Donna, I'm going to take you all over the world and I'm going to use you in a mighty way for my kingdom. And so I knew that there was a call of God on my life. And I love God. And I was just so excited. But I sometimes felt like a weird experiences magnet. I don't even know how to tell you. And maybe not all of you are going to relate to this, but some of you are. But stay tuned because we're going to have something for everybody. But first I want to speak to, do you ever feel like a weird experiences magnet? Like especially, come on now. It seemed like every time I stepped out or moved forward, it's like the gates of hell were unleashed against me. Almost to the point where it's like, I don't want to sign up to teach another Bible study because whenever I agree to do anything for God, all this, I'm talking crazy stuff. I remember people would always say like, well, this never happened before. This never happens. But I remember I heard a knock. I mean, so much of this was going on. I was living in Northern Arizona and there was a knock on my door and I knew a guy was working on my septic system and I already knew what he was going to say before I opened the door. And I did. I opened the door and he said, well, this has never happened before. I've been doing septic systems for 30 years and it's never happened before. But take a deep breath and you will know that your septic system has now exploded all over your life. But that kind of stuff would just happen to me all the time. And maybe I guarantee that there's a few people who are already tracking with me. Or, you know, if it's not your septic system, you know, your marriage is fine. Everything's great. And you sign up to teach a Bible study and all of a sudden it's like war breaks out in the house. Or your kids are normally just fine, but you agree you're going to go to Starbucks with the neighbor who doesn't know the Lord. And all of a sudden your kids are like raving lunatics. I'm just even going to see. For those of you who are joining me live, is anybody with me? Okay, that's not just me, right? If that's happened to you and you're relating to what I'm talking about, can you just hop on into the chat box and let me know, Donna, you're not alone. Okay, good, good. Lots of people are validating and saying, yes, we totally get it. The minute we start to do something, I'm with you, Donna. You're not alone, not alone. Thank you, thank you. I feel so much better. It's okay, people. Yes, I've had this happen. Everybody, okay, good. We're on this. I've got the right group here. I've got the right group. It's just like, I'm a weird experiences magnet here. And I wondered if that was just the Christian life's kind of endless spiritual warfare was our lot in a fallen world. And then I started thinking, well, is there anything that I can do to protect myself from these never-ending onslaughts? Or was I doomed to just kind of be a punching bag for the devil and his minions? You know, but then other times, maybe some of you weren't tracking with that, but other times the roadblocks on the road to my destiny were much more subtle. Right. They were like an inside job. I would hear a voice. This was a big one for me because I would fall into comparison that someone else is more qualified. God prefers so-and-so. And right as I was going live, this memory came back to me. And some of you who've been with me, especially to the Lifestyle Freedom event, you've heard this story, but it's a good one. And so I'll retell it. The other thought, and some of you are really going to relate to this, that someone else is already doing it. So God doesn't need me to do it. He's already got someone else and they're doing it better than me, in a bigger way than me, more effectively than me. So, okay. So here's my story on this. It just came to me. All right. I was writing my first book. It was called Homemade Business, about how moms could make money from home. And this was 28 years ago. Right. And remember dot matrix printers? Anyway, so I had finished the entire book and it was printing out on my dot matrix printer for me to send in to focus on the family who had expressed an interest in the book. I'd been talking with them and like, yeah, okay, we've got an interest. Go ahead and send it to us. And I was so exhausted from, you know, writing the book. And I went and laid down on my living room floor. And I turned on Christian radio and guess what it was? It was Focus on the Family. That's the people I was sending the book to. I could not make this up. You want to talk about weird experiences? Of all the topics for Focus on the Family, guess what the topic was that day? Just have some fun. Who, type in the chat. Let's make this interactive. Who can tell me what the topic was as my book, my revolutionary book about how moms could make money from home was printing out. I had poured my life into this thing. What do you think someone guessed it. Hey, woohoo! Exactly. That was the topic for the day. And I was sobbing. I was sobbing. I'm like, oh no. God already has someone else. Someone else is already doing it. Someone else already wrote a book on this topic. Someone else already has a ministry about this. So what does God need me for? So now everybody guessed what it was. How many of you have had that happen to you? You have this great idea. You're going to do this ministry. You're going to teach on this topic. You're going to start this business, whatever it is. You're going to pay. And then you notice someone else is already doing it. And God probably likes them better anyway. And they probably have more support than you. And Oh, come on. Now we have one person here making a little bit of sense. She's like, well, yeah, but you could have a different take on it. Yes, exactly. So here's how the rest of the story goes. I think, well, God doesn't need me. He's got somebody else already. Why should I bother? But no, indeed, I packed up that precious little dot matrix printed little book and I sent it to Focus on the Family. And not long afterwards, I get a phone call. She said, hey, this is Janet Kabobel from Focus on the Family. We would love to publish your book. And then I was like jumping up and down and screaming right next to where I had been crying a few weeks earlier, right? And I went on Focus on the Family and it was the largest response in the history of Focus on the Family up until that time. The average Christian book never sells more than 5,000 copies in its lifetime. My book was selling 3,000 copies a day. The rumor was, they told me later when I was at Focus on the Family, like we were just dragging people in off anyone who could answer a phone. We were having to drag them in. Please just answer a phone to take all the orders. Wow. This is really for somebody right now. Because there's something that God has called you to do. And one of these things is holding you back. And it may just be that every time you start to step forward, you notice someone else and you think, you know what? Maybe God just is, what does God need me for? What do I have to say? What do I have to add? But as one of you guessed, you know, you're unique. You're, you know, God's given you a unique voice, And I mean that in every sense of the way, not just the tone of your voice, but your manner of speaking, your life experience, your education or lack thereof, you know, who you are is going to reach those people that God has called you to reach in a way that someone else is not going to. I just had an experience. I'm getting off on a tangent, but my business partner, Tamara Aragon, we were just in Costa Rica, and she's like, oh, you've got to tune into this podcast. I love this guy. It's the greatest podcast. I listen to it all the time. He's so wonderful. I tuned in 3 times, and I didn't know if I wanted to kill myself or him. I just could not stand the guy. And she loved him. And of course, I love Jesus, so really I wouldn't hurt anybody, so I shouldn't say that. But I'm from New Jersey, and I talk like that. See, and not everybody will like that. For me, say, oh gosh, I went to strangle the guy. He made me crazy. But that's just out there, me being honest. I didn't strangle him. Don't worry. He's safe. He's fine. And he's got a wonderful, you know, huge podcast that a lot of people love, but it wasn't for me. But then there are other people that I love and someone else like, oh, I don't like that person. It's not my style. It's not that I'm, you know, it's not that you're better than someone else. It's that God has given you a unique approach, a unique message that some people are really going to resonate with. Those that you are appointed and anointed to serve, they're going to respond to you. Whether that's you teaching a Bible study in your home or in your local church, or you launching a blog, or you painting, you know, not everybody's going to love you, and that's okay. But some people, you're really going to change their lives. And I heard someone talking about this, you know, just the other day. They put out their first book, and the first few emails they got were about spelling errors and grammatical mistakes they made in the book. And they're like, oh no. And then they got an email about a woman who said, you know, this totally changed my life. Well, yeah, this is just, who is this for somebody? Amazing, right? Or worse, maybe some of you have heard this little voice that, you know, somehow I'm disqualified. You know, I've made this mistake and I yell at my kids, or, you know, whatever. I've made some mistake, or I've got some area of my life where, you know, I can't quite pull it together. And so I'm disqualified, or I'm not qualified. See, it was less obvious that those thoughts were just as much a spiritual attack as this never happened before, but your septic tank just exploded on the way to a ladies' retreat. I forgot to add that part. I was on my way to an airport to go to a ladies' retreat. It was less obvious that my own thoughts and feelings could be manipulated for the, now this is it. Notice how I put it in red. For the express purpose of sidelining me. That's the name of the game. And I didn't realize I needed protection from both types of attacks. See what's at stake here. God's goal is to maximize your life and maximize your impact for the kingdom. The enemy's goal is to minimize your life and minimize your impact for the kingdom. And one of the ways he does that is to try to minimize you and convince you that somehow you are inadequate. And we temporarily forget that it's not about us anyway. It's not that we're great, it's that we have an amazing God. And sometimes the enemy will bring a frontal attack in our circumstances, but other times he'll use a more subtle approach by attacking our soul. And I almost think, I'm making this up on the fly, but I almost think that this might be true, that when we're young in our faith, he'll meddle more with circumstances. But then as we grow in our faith and get more mature, he comes with a more subtle strategy. I'd be interested in getting some feedback on that for those of you who've walked with the Lord for decades. Did you notice that? Because I have. But we need protection in all areas, in our circumstances and our physical body. And most of you, I would imagine, have received my prayer, the prayer of protection. If not, it's available free. Go to donnapartow.com/protection. And I've had a huge response to that prayer. It's really been powerful. I've prayed it for, you know, at least I would imagine 15 years by now. And that's all about praying protection in our circumstances and our physical body and our physical surroundings. And I shared the testimony of how, you know, bless God, we've been miraculously protected in a lot of different situations, including two hurricanes. And one, just so many of my neighbors were hit. I think all of our neighbors were hit to some extent. And I was almost embarrassed because there was nothing. So finally I had the neighbor boy pull out a bush where a snake had been hiding out front of our yard. And so I pulled out the bush because everybody else had debris piled and they were coming around and cleaning up all the debris after the hurricane. I didn't have anything. So I donated the bush. And so at least I had something to put out there. I'm not saying you pray the prayer of protection and it's like a magic charm and nothing bad can ever happen to you, because it's just simply not true. But there is power in prayer. And so that prayer of protection is something to look at. And I've had such a response. I was praying about, okay, I want to build on that. And that's when the Lord gave me this message that I'm delivering today, because we also need protection in our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that's the tool I want to give you today. Right? These trainings, these monthly kind of mentoring sessions is not just for me to teach you. Because, you know, you can go all over the internet and get free teaching. I mean, there are major, incredible ministries broadcasting 24/7 in high definition. So, you know, you don't need to be a member to get access to that. But what I want to give you here is mentoring. I want to pray for you personally. Not just someone on my team and not just, you know, pray for you and you not know. I want to personally pray prophetically for you. I want to personally mentor you, brainstorm with you, be available, me personally, not just a member of my team, directly give you access once a month where you can ask me any, you know, ask me anything. That's what it says. Ask me anything about your life and ministry that I can brainstorm with you on it. And then I want to give you a tool that you can take, tuck into your Bible. That's my favorite. Tuck it into your Bible. Turn it into a voice note. Download it. Whatever that you can use in your Christian life. And I hope that you find tremendous value in that. And that's what I want to give you today. Now, so back to a little bit about my journey of how God kind of took me to this. I have a very large property up in the mountains. We had a couple acres and a very large home in northern Arizona. And then I had an outbuilding with a guest house. And I actually had a young family who were living in my guest house at the time. And they saw a lot of this stuff happening. And the husband said, you know, we know a minister over in Texas that I think could really help you. And I just had enough weird experiences that I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get on another plane. Last thing I need is another flight, but I'm going to get on another plane and I'm going to fly to Dallas, Texas, and I'm going to meet with this minister if you think he can really help me. So I get there and I arrive, and actually he hosted me in his home. He kind of had a ministry to ministers, and I'm pouring out my heart and I'm telling him all this weird stuff that's happening to me and all these challenges that I'm facing. And he looks at me. And this is what he says. Donna, when you get rid of the garbage, the rats will leave. When you get rid of the garbage, the rats will leave. And he said, you know, it's your thoughts, your emotions, the things that you hold on to, they're garbage, toxic stuff. And that is what is attracting the rats. The rats being demons, if I may say. Demonic activity. So you got to deal with all that stuff. And when you do, now, and of course, it's never, you know, I mean, the enemy is still going to be after you. But demons feed on this garbage. So we don't need to put out food for them and make it more delightful. Does that make sense? So I want to talk a little bit about getting rid of the garbage. So you got to get rid of the trash, and then you got to wash out the trash can. Yeah? How do we do that? I want to talk now about the blood of Christ, because that's our theme, and talk about what it accomplishes. I think you're going to find this pretty incredible. It's a little bit theological, but stay with me because I want to make it super, super practical. Okay. The blood, and we're going to have a lot of scripture, right? The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God. Now, again, put this in all red. You notice that? Cleanse our consciences. Because I'm telling you, this is what attracts and empowers the enemy. When we feel weighed down, unclean, unworthy, guilty conscience. So that we may serve the living God. That's the rest of that verse. That the blood of Jesus is to cleanse our consciences so that we may serve the living God. See, God knows the way we're made. And when we feel guilty and we have all that emotional garbage going on in our heart and in our mind, we're not going to step out. We're not going to serve. It tells us in there's a little mistake there. It's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, God's going to do two things. It took me a while to notice this, that there are two things going on. He's faithful and just to do two things. Number one, forgive us our sin. And number two, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Watch this. There's our part and God's part. If you do this, then God will do that. God is always willing, but we have a part to play. Forgiveness is available, but we must avail ourselves of it. Cleansing is available, but we must avail ourselves of it. Okay, now, I don't want to spend a lot of time in the Old Testament. I was tempted, but in the Old Testament, they had two things, sacrifice and cleansings, two different things. And in a sacrifice, something was done for you. So you would take in your pigeon or the bull or whatever. You would purchase the animal or take an animal from your flock, and you would take it to the priest and give it to him. And then he would go into the temple and sacrifice it for you. It was done for you. And you didn't see it. You believed by faith that when you gave him the animal, he took it in and sacrificed and sprinkled the blood and did all that stuff. A cleansing was different. Something was done in you. Something happened to you. I mean, you got wet. You got sprinkled. You knew it. A sacrifice, that's the Old Testament, a sacrifice is provided by Christ at the cross. Cleansing is provided by the Holy Spirit within us. A sacrifice, you believe by faith, it was done for you. We believe by faith that the blood of Jesus was sacrificed for our redemption, for our forgiveness. But a cleansing, you take action. You have to participate in it. You have a role. A sacrifice deals with the fact of sin. Cleansing deals with the emotional results of sin. And that's what the blood of Jesus, the cleansing of the blood. When we wash in the blood, cleanse our consciences. There's an emotional impact there. Watch it. Just stay with me. Scripture is so clear on this. Hebrews 9:7. The gifts and sacrifices being offered in the Old Testament, they didn't work. They weren't able to clear the conscience of the worshiper. Even though theologically they knew, okay, go get the ram, go get the sheep, the bull, the pigeon, whatever. Take it to the priest. He's going to offer the sacrifice on your behalf. I mean, actually, they knew all that. But the Bible tells us flat out, you know, wasn't able to clear the conscience. God knows how we are. He knows it's not enough for us to know theologically, yes, I've been forgiven. If I ask every one of you, you say, yes, I know God's forgiven me. But do you live like that? I don't. There's my true confession right there. Do I live like everything I've ever done has been completely forgiven? Do I actually live like I believe that? That when God looks at me, he sees Jesus, perfect, sinless life? Do I really walk it out? And the truth is, not always. God understands we need to feel clean. If we're going to have confidence to step out and do all that he's called us to do. Now say, oh, we shouldn't. Yeah, but it's true. That's the way we are. See, the sacrifice, Jesus' blood, forever sealed your place in heaven. We're not even talking about that. But a cleansed soul gives you confidence to cooperate with God in seeing his kingdom come and his will being done now on earth as it is in heaven. So we're not talking about you going to heaven, because you are. You're going to heaven. The sacrifice has been offered once for all. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father. No more sacrifices needed. That's already done. Woohoo! We're not even talking about your trip to heaven. We're talking about you enjoying the trip because your conscience is clear. We're talking about you being effective on the journey and taking some other people with you because you know with every fiber of your being that because of the blood of Jesus, you are cleansed, you are clean. And called to serve. Watch this. This is amazing. Come on, check it out. With your blood, Jesus, you purchase men and women for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to do what? To serve our God. And check this out. They will reign on the earth. So why did Jesus buy you? Why did he buy you? Does it say, with your blood, you purchased men and women so they could go to heaven? Does it say that? You're rereading it. No. He, that's part of it. He wants to be for you to have eternity in heaven. Yes, that's true. But that's not what the verse says. The verse says, what? So that you can serve God and reign on the earth. And I think we need to reign now. Beginning from the day we come to Christ, we need to start reigning. And yes, I do think that this verse, in a sense, is talking about the new heavens and the new earth, and we're going to be reigning in that, but we need to be reigning now. Serving now. Are you supposed to be serving now? Okay, well, this is just a comma away. Serving? Yeah. Reigning? Yeah. You should be serving. You should be reigning. You should be living like you really believe you're a queen and a priest. Appointed by God and anointed by God. That's how you should be living now. Like, you know what? I'm clicking, people. I'm serving God. I'm reigning. I'm taking authority on this earth in Jesus' name. Because that's why he bought me. You were purchased for a purpose. Jesus has never purchased anyone just to put them on a shelf. Never. Jesus, let's say Jesus goes to the human being store. Okay. It's like, oh, you know what? I've got a job that needs to be done in Guatemala and I got to go buy somebody so that they can go to Guatemala for me and do that job. And so he goes to the human being store and goes to the cash register and says, how much blood's that going to be? I've spilled all the blood. I've got a quadrillion, jillion, infinity worth of blood here. So whatever, you know, I can pay here. Here's my blood purchased. Jesus never goes to the human being store and says, well, I don't have anything I need to do on the earth. But let me just buy this person over here with my blood, my invaluable blood, and I'll just put them on a little shelf. I'll just sit them in a church pew for no reason at all. Never happened. If Jesus never says to one of the angels, oh, look at this one I purchased. The angel's like, oh, neat. What'd you buy that one for? Nothing. This one I bought for no reason at all. I just bought them. I don't know what. Nothing. I'm not going to ever do anything with them. I just bought them. I'm going to put them on a shelf here. Never happened. Every human being that Jesus purchased, he purchased for a purpose, and he purchased you for a purpose. And there's something that he wants you to do. There's a lot of some things he wants you to do. He wants you to reign like a princess on the earth, a princess with a purpose. That's you. He had something very specific in mind when he bought you with his blood. And I don't know, how does knowing that Jesus purchased you with his blood give you confidence to step into your purpose? Give you impetus to say, you know what? He bought me for some reason. He bought me for a lot of reasons. There's stuff that he wants to do in and through my life. This might theologically not be good, but I'm going to say it anyway. I want Jesus to get his money's worth. I want Jesus to get his blood's worth through my life. I want Jesus to be able to work in and through my life to accomplish all that's possible. I want him to maximize my life. I want maximum mileage. I want Jesus to get maximum mileage out of this vehicle because we are God's mobile response units here on earth. And I want to serve him with all I've got and go as far as I can possibly go. Anybody else? Can I get some amens on this? I think I need some amens. Yes, and someone's saying, do I need to scribble all this down? You will get all of these slides will be put into a beautiful book. I do that every month. I'll put them into a nice book for you, and you'll get the book, and it'll be great. This is just going to get more fun because the Bible is so fun. They, the believers, those kings and priests, those princesses and queens, they defeated Satan through two things, the blood of the Lamb and the bold word of their witness. Look at this side by side. There's the blood of the Lamb and the bold word. How many of you already know where I'm going with this? They're twins. Knowing that Jesus bought us with his blood and considered us a great investment, we were worth dying for. And he knew exactly what he was getting when he bought us. He not only knew, this one's really hard for me, I might cry. He not only knew every mistake you made before he bought you, he knew every mistake you would make after the purchase. He knew it all. And he bought you anyway. He knew what he was getting when he bought you. And he decided that you were worth bleeding for. That needs to make you bold. That makes you bold. No, you are fully known and fully loved anyway. Fully known. Fully loved, fully treasured, and Jesus still has full confidence that what he bought you for can and will be fulfilled in your life if you refuse to let the enemy keep you sidelined. Mm-hmm. Yep, there you have it. Blood and boldness. There you go. There's a book titled Blood and Boldness. Did you notice the connection? They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and their bold testimony. The blood gives us boldness. Come on now. Somebody help me out. Woohoo! It protects us from insecurity, self-flagellation. You know, Muslims beat themselves till they bleed. I'll say it again. Muslims beat themselves until they bleed because they think they need to offer their blood. How many of us do the same? How many of us think I need to beat myself till I bleed? Beat myself up till I bleed about every little mistake I've ever made or either that, or, you know, God could have used me and would have used me, but then I made this mistake, so now I guess I'm just going to sit in a pew or sit home and watch online. That's the new thing. Our church has a huge problem with it. People just stay home and watch online, which is, anyway, blah, blah, blah. Done. Move on. Done. Doing good. No tangents. It protects us from insecurity, self-flagellation, I added that, and self-protected small living. Self-protected small living, what we hide. We play small because we think, especially, now guys, who's tracking with me on, especially in today's social media world, and we fear exposure. Everybody knows everything about us. We're afraid to put ourselves out there. Mm-hmm. Because then what will people think? What if people find out that we're not perfect? What if people find out these mistakes that we've made? What if people find out that, you know, whatever. And we think, well, I've got to play small. I got to protect myself. Because if I really put myself out there and live large, and people find out, oh boy, she's not all that, then what will I do? You know what then you'll do? Then you'll cleanse yourself. Then you'll confess your sins, and he'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you get up and try again and get up and try again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Making sense. Is this helping somebody? Am I making some sense? Yeah, there is therefore now no condemnation. If anyone is in Christ, she is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself and did what? Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Is anybody seeing it? That's the whole point. You're supposed to be serving him. You're supposed to be bold. You're supposed to be going and doing, not sitting on the sideline. And I know a lot of you, I'm preaching to the choir and you're going and you're doing, and I'm saying more, 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 do more, go more, bold, be bolder. Serving, serve at a higher level. And most of all, Lord, set me free from a life that's all about me. God forbid that we should come to the end of our lives and realize that we had missed out on all that God wanted to do through our lives. That tricky devil. Available and applied. See, it's not enough to know that the blood is available. It's got to be applied. And I was going to go off into this whole Old Testament thing about, and I have like 20 pages. I've been working on this for a month. You know, they applied, you know, the old, you guys, we are all Bible people here, right? Okay. The Old Testament. They sacrificed the lamb for Passover, and then they took hyssop, which is like a little branch, and they applied the blood to the doorpost of their house, and that protected their home and protected the people that they loved. And then the enemy and death had to pass over. Death and darkness had to pass over them. In the same way, with our words, we need to apply the blood of Jesus, and we can apply it over our homes. We can apply it over our family. We need to apply it over our heart, our mind, our imagination, apply it over our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. We need to apply it over our ministry, our calling, our destiny. And we do that not with a branch of hyssop, but with our lips, our words. And we speak it out. Apply the blood. I apply the blood of Jesus. So many times before I get up to speak, this is the last thing I say before I walk up to a microphone. I say, I stand arrayed in robes of righteousness dipped in the blood of the Lamb. Phew, it's the last thing I say. As I walk up there, it is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Apply the blood. The Israelites at Passover applied the blood with hyssop. We apply it with our mouth. It's available, but we have to avail ourselves of it and remind ourselves. Redemption. What is redemption? It's the action, and I think really here it's regaining possession. Okay. Jesus redeemed us. He bought us back from the enemy. The enemy had taken us captive. And the ransom, who sets the ransom? This was the revelation. I talked about this. I prayed for a revelation. I fasted 40 days for a revelation about the blood of Christ. I fasted 40 days for a revelation about the blood of Christ. And what God told me is that the kidnapper sets the ransom. The kidnapper says, you know what? I want to be paid in pesos. I want to be paid in unmarked U.S. dollars. I want to be paid in Turkish liras. I want to be paid in pound sterling. The kidnapper sets the ransom, how he wants the ransom to be paid. Just chew on that for a while. I can't do a whole message on it. But sin and Satan had taken you, they'd kidnapped you and taken you captive. You know that song, O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel? Jesus ransomed you. He bought you back. He redeemed you. And the ransom money had to be paid in blood. He redeemed you. He ransomed you. He bought you back. He regained possession of you in exchange for payment and cleared a debt. He cleared the debt. He cleared the debt from every sin you committed before and after, because Jesus is apart from time. He cleared it all. All of it. You yelled at your husband this morning, cleared. Redemption bought back. We have redemption through his blood. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What's the curse? Death, sin, sickness, disease, poverty, lack, depression. Go read it. Go read, you know, is it Deuteronomy like 29 through 32? Go read all the stuff that is not supposed to be controlling your life anymore. We have confidence to enter the most holy place. How? By the blood of Jesus. What's the most holy place? That's like the throne room. That's like we approach the throne of grace with confidence to obtain mercy in our time of need. Confidence, boldness. Anybody sensing a trend? The blood makes us bold. And you know, just if all you did was proclaim that, you know what? The blood makes me bold. The blood makes me bold. I'm going to say whatever God puts on my heart. Let us draw near to God. I have a little frog in my throat. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. How? Having a heart sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Is anybody getting this yet? See, God dealt with the fact of sin, but he knows the way we are. It's not enough to deal with the fact of sin. It's not enough for us to know. Yeah, I know. I'm forgiven. We have to feel forgiven. We're forgiven by the blood, but the blood has to be applied. The blood gives us courage to pray. See, God won't answer prayers that we lack the courage to pray. But when we're bold and we go in and say, you know what, Lord, I'm asking for this. This is what I'm asking for. This is what I'm believing for. Because it's not about me. It's about you. It's about your kingdom. This is all like the same chapter, guys. And that's a problem. It's like, we take a Bible verse here and a Bible verse there and a Bible verse somewhere else, and we don't put it all together. You've memorized this verse, haven't you? And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Did you ever connect it to the blood until right now? Have you ever before connected these verses that are right next to each other? He's talking about the blood. He's talking about a guilty conscience being cleansed. And then right after that, he talks about, let's consider how to spur one another on. Because you know what? When you don't apply the blood, when you don't soak in that cleansing flow, you don't feel like you can spur anybody else on. You need somebody to spur you on. You can barely spur yourself on. Connect the dots. Not give up meeting together. When do we stop going to church? When do we stop going to Bible study? Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly. It's when we're not cleansed, whether it's our own guilty conscience or someone else's guilt. We don't believe that the blood can be used to cleanse others as well, as some are in the habit of doing. It's all related. You know, and as we come to God and just confess our stuff, then we suddenly realize, wow, you know, I had a part to play in that whole sorry mess. Maybe I shouldn't be mad at my pastor or the worship leader or the Sunday school teacher. You know, maybe I had a part in the whole sorry mess. So maybe I shouldn't storm off from the church. Maybe I should just go to God and confess my part and get cleansed. And then I can, you know, go back to church. You know how many Christians don't go to church at all anymore? And please don't think I'm like casting stones. Anything I talk about, I've been there too. I know exactly what it is. I have a whole chapter in one of my books called My Church Hurt My Feelings. Boy, did my church hurt my feelings. We could do that. Mm-hmm. But the blood of Jesus, and that's the special blessings prayer, but I can't teach that today. And some are in that, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. The blood gives us courage to fellowship. Why do people skip church? Why do we keep silent when we do go? We need cleansing. That's it. Oh, no. We're almost into an hour. Donna, wrap it up. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Again, same chapter. We're still in Hebrews chapter 10. The blood gives us courage to be confident, confidence to show up in a bigger way, confidence to stand up and speak out. We're still in the same chapter. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. The scarlet cord, the blood is the scarlet cord woven through all of Scripture from, and I was going to, you know, I've got about 20 pages of notes on this, but we're going to wrap it up. Blood is the theme from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Hebrews 9:7, never without blood. There's forgiveness, there's cleansing, there's mercy, there's acceptance in God's sight, but never without blood. Even Rahab, we're doing a study of Joshua right now in a local Bible study. And you know, Rahab, she had to put a scarlet cord in her window. Her family could be safe, but never without blood. So we need to apply the blood. And let me just, I'm going to give you the tool. Okay. So we have the teaching, the tool, and then I'm going to pray for some of you. Okay. Study Scripture on the blood, especially when we looked at it today, Hebrews 9 and 10. Memorize key verses about the blood, and I gave you some great ones today. Study the Passover. You know, symbolically, apply the blood of Jesus to every doorpost and window to your home. You go get some anointing oil at your church, or you can go on Amazon for that matter, but you might want to go and get it somewhere special and use oil. Play songs that celebrate the blood. There's some great old hymns, and there's even some new contemporary songs that celebrate the blood. And take, you know, your laptop, your phone, whatever, into any room in your house marked by conflict or rebellion, and play songs in those rooms that celebrate the blood. It's powerful stuff. Cleanse those rooms with the blood. I shared this already before ministry or any other delicate situation. Proclaim that you are covered in the blood and stand arrayed in robes of righteousness dipped in the blood of Lamb. You know, say it out loud. You know, the demons tremble at the mention of the blood because they know that's what defeated them, the blood of Jesus. And they tremble at it. So speak about it. Proclaim it out loud with your mouth and then pray the protection in the blood prayer, which I'm going to give to you. Give me 1 second here. Make sure we're making, is this making sense? My daughter's writing a book right now. In fact, if you would pray for her. Someone's asking, is there a difference between pleading or applying the blood? Again, you can, I would think, yes, she says that's just semantics. I would say, yes, that's just semantics. I think it's the same. If you want to say plead, plead. It doesn't, I think it's the same. Pray for my daughter. Even as we speak, she's writing a book called Surviving Your Parents' Ministry. It's actually called MKPK. And the subtitle is Surviving Your Parents' Ministry. And she's got seven keys for surviving your parents' ministry. And yeah, someone's saying that, boy, the enemy loves to get people in church disillusioned. But pray for her as she writes that. Proclaim the truth about yourself. These little things are from Derek Prince. I overcome Satan. These are all things that you could proclaim. These are like affirmations. I overcome Satan when I testify personally to what the Word of God says the blood of Jesus does for me. Through the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed out of the hand of the devil. While I walk in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses me now and continually from all sin. Again, you could write all these on post-it notes. We should probably turn them all into infographics. In fact, I just talked myself into it. Through the blood of Jesus, I am justified, acquitted, not guilty, reckoned righteous, made righteous, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified. Through the blood of Jesus, I'm sanctified, made holy, set apart to God, separated from sin, made holy with God's holiness. Lord Jesus, when we receive your blood, in it we receive your life, the life of God, divine, eternal, endless life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that even when I cannot pray, the blood of Jesus is pleading for me in heaven. Thank you, Lord, that through the sprinkled blood of Jesus, I have access into your presence, into the holiest place in the universe. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and we do not love our lives unto death. All those little quotes there were from Derek Prince. And now the prayer. This is the prayer that I wrote. Okay. Protection in the blood. And pray this with me. God, I thank you that I don't have to focus on my problems today. You're not far from me. So I come right now with complete confidence and I enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price and ransoming my life with your blood. You opened a new and living way for me. I don't have to live by religious do's and don'ts. Because you are my high priest, I draw near to God with a sincere heart. I have full assurance of faith. Your blood has set me free from a guilty conscience so that I can serve you today. My heart has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. The doorposts of my soul have been marked. I belong to you. So the spirits of death and darkness must pass over my life. They cannot bring destruction to me or my household. Because of all you have done, Jesus, I hold unswervingly to the hope I profess. I know your promises and I know you are faithful. Oh, how glorious to know you've set me free from an empty life that's all about me. Now I can focus my time and energy on considering how I can spur others on toward love and good deeds. Thank you, Jesus, for ransoming me from slavery to self. And slavery to sin, the slavery of living consumed, small living, what I want, what I think, and how I feel. Because of your cleansing blood, I'm free to live the great adventure, following wherever you lead, living my life to serve. I thank you that I have protection as I apply the blood to my circumstances, to my body, to my mind, my will, and my emotions. In Jesus' name, and for the sake of his kingdom, amen. Powerful. Is that a powerful prayer? Do you think that's going to be a great tool for you, a great resource? I want to mention a couple other resources, and then I'm going to take your comments and prayer requests. This great class, 30-day class, 30 days in the presence of God's power, And you can go to donnaparcheau.com/power and find out more about that. That would be a great next step. Really, especially for those who know there's a call of God on your life, which is all of you, and beyond breakthrough. If you, especially if you're related to what I was sharing in the beginning about feeling like a weird experiences magnet and all that stuff, this would be a powerful tool for you. Women'sEmpowerMentUniversity.com. And you can just go to that website, and then click on the button or just /BB and learn more about that class. And I also wanted to mention, you can join me live at the Lifestyle Freedom event in the Caribbean. It's all about equipping you to have the freedom to go and to do. I believe that God is raising up an army right now of Christian digital nomads and social media influencers for his kingdom. And if that's you, I would love for you to come and get equipped and trained. It's powerful. This will be our fifth event. And God's done amazing things. Find out all about that. DonnaParcheau.com/freedom. And now, how can I pray for you? If you know that God has called you to go up higher, if there's a ministry, a message, a mandate, but something is holding you back, I want you to lift up your hand. If that's you, something God's called you to do, but you're holding back, raise up your hand and let's talk about it.